Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. My name is Ben Trueblood, and I am your host as usual. Today with me, special guest Brian Mills. Brian, glad to have you today.
Yeah, good to be here.
Brian Mills, just if you're not familiar with Brian, he spent 15 years in student ministry, most recently at Long Hollow Church in the Nashville area. He's also an author of Checkpoints First and Virtuosity. It was his second book, and both of those are available Amazon, and you get Virtuosity at Lifeway.com as well as anywhere anywhere else, pretty much. And what I think is interesting and really cool, especially for the context of this podcast, is that Brian has served in churches and leading student ministries anywhere from 7 students all the way to 3,000 students. And so a wide range of church experience that I think you as listeners are really going to enjoy hearing from today. So as usual, the purpose of our podcast is to help you serve you and your mission of making disciples and give you student ministry related content that will work for you anywhere, regardless of size and place that you serve, that this is the stuff that is just general information and things that you can take and apply right now in your student ministry. So I think you'll find that from Brian as we talk today. Brian, tell us a little bit about family and kind of what you're doing now with Student Leadership University.
Yeah, so I have 2 kids. I got a little 9-year-old boy named Parker. I got an 11-year-old little girl named McKenna. My wife and I have been married 14 years. And right now I'm serving with Student Leadership University with Dr. Jay Strack and Brent Crow, doing I'm a church strategist for them, as well as I help host some of their Lift Tour sites, and then we'll be at most of the Youth Pastor Summits that's coming up here in April. And so it's fun being a part of Student Leadership University and kind of the stage they have and great influence for the kingdom.
Yeah, and I love that. And Brian, you know, Brian, I've known Brian for a lot of years now. I don't know how many years, but still involved in student ministry, kind of from a different seat right now, but has really been a thought leader in student ministry for quite some time. And one of the things that over the years I've been so impressed with what you do in student ministry and things that I've learned from you personally is how to organize and plan an event with an evangelistic purpose.
Yeah.
And so we've talked a little bit about that on the podcast before, and it's a whole lot more than just showing up and giving an invitation at the end of the event. So talk a little bit about how you thought through that, like what you would take your team of volunteers, even staff for the context, if that fits some. Talk about how you would focus an event and think about an event with evangelism in mind.
Yeah, so first, Ben, I think you've got to have evangelism in mind. And I know that sounds so stupid and elementary to take the question and make a statement out of the question.
Yeah.
But if we don't have evangelism in mind, we will never have an evangelistic event.
Right. So let me ask you that like, what are some things that happen that you see kind of take... Like, what causes evangelism to not be in somebody's mind when they're planning an event? Like, what are some barriers that kind of keep people from remembering that?
That's a good question. I think one barrier is that we just want to have fun.
Yeah.
And we want to be a somewhat of an attractional ministry with no mission to it. And if we're attractional with no mission, without a missional aspect of our events, then I don't think we have a purposeful event, nor do I think we have a biblical event.
Yeah, it's a great point.
So I think you got to, I believe in, anybody who knows me knows I believe in attractional, but I believe in missionally attractional events.
Yeah.
So I want to put on an event that's attractional, but I also want it to have a mission tied to it. So a few things that we've done to lead into kind of having evangelism in mind and keeping this mindset to have an evangelistic event was, one, we define the purpose of the event. And so let's take a disciple now. Well, it might be a little, we want to go a little deeper, like on the Lift Tour. We take some deep content, but we want to add an evangelistic flavor to that. So we're going to challenge our students to bring their lost friends. We're going to add some incentives to that, and the fact that we might say, we'll help you pay for your lost friend.
Yeah.
We might create a scholarship fund that would help pay for the unchurched to come. And then we want the event to be somewhat attractional to a lost person. We don't want to come and unpack the Greek and unpack, you know, this deep, deep, deep theology that, quite honestly, 0.5% of the room wants to hear. And I'm not against it, so don't crucify me on that, Ben. I'm not against it.
The Twitter messages are coming through now as we record. No, but I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, though, because, and I think there's a way to incorporate those things without saying, now in the Greek, the original word is blank, and this means that. You can just say, hey, here's what this means.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, we've recently done a podcast on preaching and teaching. And we talked about that very thing, and that, I mean, you don't have to say all that extra stuff just to sound smarter. The best preachers find a way to take those things and put them on the lower shelf so that everybody in the room can get them.
Well, and I think as you look at, and this, we could talk on this topic for days, and theologically,
absolutely,
there's so many different opinions out there.
Yeah.
But as I looked at it, and as I look at my ministry, and as I led a student ministry, I wanted to lead a student ministry with a holistic approach and not an individualistic approach. And what I mean by that is I did not just want to be a ministry of evangelism.
Yeah.
I did not just want to be a ministry that sees hundreds of people saved and we do nothing with them. But I want it to be a ministry that says, go and make disciples of all nations, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to put a period after go. I'm not going to put a period after make disciples. I want to create this holistic ministry that says, we're going to go, and we're going to go make disciples. And so we're going to see people come to know the Lord, but we're going to see them baptized. We're going to see them discipled. We're going to see them plugged in a small group. And so I think that one of the most important parts of an evangelistic event is what happens after the event.
Yeah.
I think the event is on into the next 7 days following the event.
With the follow-up process.
That's right.
So you mentioned 7 days specifically. Like, so in your time as in leading student ministries, has that been the time window that you've identified and said, all meaningful all is a hard word. But
I get it.
Meaningful follow-up is going to take place within that time if it's going to stick.
Yeah, so to be honest with you, I would have never accepted 7 days. So we said within 48 hours.
Yeah, okay.
And so if a kid came and you know, we've had events as small as 7 to 10 students.
Yeah.
I've led events with as large as 5,000-plus teenagers just from our student ministry alone. And so you can imagine that it's easy to think, how are you going to follow up with 10 salvations? It's hard to think about, how are you going to follow up with 700 to 800 kids who just made a decision for the Lord?
Right.
But within 48 hours, we said, no matter the number, we want to see those kids followed up. And the follow-up, just briefly, would include a contact from the pastor. Matter of fact, before a kid ever left the counseling room, they had to meet with one of our pastors, one of our student pastors.
Yeah.
Now, I was blessed to have a staff. And
right.
So a lot of bivocational guys might be listening to this saying, well, I can't accomplish that. Well, when I was leading a youth ministry of 7 teenagers, I had a key volunteer that would lead the counseling room, and every decision would go through that key volunteer. And it was just a quick, hey, I'm so proud of the decisions. You give your life to the Lord today. Yes, so excited for you. Someone's going to contact you this week.
Yeah.
And it might have been a pastor when I was at a Bavo, or when I was in a smaller level. When I'm at a larger level, I was having my staff do that. But we always then went to the volunteer.
Right.
And the volunteer was who would have been their small group leader. So we didn't double up.
Yeah.
We didn't recruit more volunteers. We got the small group leader who would connect with them to follow up with them, so that we could get them in small group and see discipleship happen.
Yeah, so taking them from this large group or large event type setting into the normal course of ministry throughout
That's
the
right.
week for small groups. I think it's an important distinction, and you said this too, between staff and volunteers. And I would say to those of you who don't yet have a staff or aren't going to have a staff or anything like that, your volunteer team is, in a way, your staff.
That's exactly
and
right.
And so using them, training them to have those really key discipling, decision counseling conversation, like in this moment right now, here's what to do next. Here's
That's
how.
Right.
Here's what this means is really, really important.
And I think leadership dictates that. You know, leaders can lead their people.
Yeah.
And no matter if they're paid, volunteer, or whatever they are, we as leaders, which I believe youth pastors are really just leaders who've been assigned the job of youth ministry, and then we need to lead our people. And if we don't delegate well to our volunteers, then follow up will fall away.
Yeah. So with that, Let's move to a different question that I think flows right into what we've been, where we've been camping out here, and that's, what are some things of, that you would say in your 15 and counting years of being involved in student ministry have made the most lasting impact?
Yeah, so I would say a few things. One, I'd say every year we tried to double our volunteer base. I believe if you want to, no matter how the size of my ministry, I knew if I was going to double my youth ministry, I had to double my volunteers, because I did not want to have a mile wide and an inch deep ministry.
Yeah.
And to do that, I had to have people.
Now, when you say volunteers, small group primarily, or?
Yeah, good question.
People standing at the doors and greeting and,
yes.
And all of the above.
Yes.
Yeah.
The answer to that question is yes, all the above. So whether it's standing at the door greeting, whether it's a senior adult lady who could be a good a Sunday morning secretary for us, could collect the roles, could input the roles for me into the church system, so I had less work to do myself on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Yes, we came up with every job possible to get work off ourselves and figure out who could do that and assign that job. And the neatest time we found out was when I had zero staff, is when that was a beautiful picture.
Yeah,
because
that's
we were
awesome.
Able to do so much ministry because of our volunteer base.
Yeah, so that frees you up to be able to
love
be on school
kids.
Campuses, build relationships with parents, all of that kind of stuff.
Which I would say another aspect of one of the longest lasting impacts I've seen was relationships.
Yeah.
Relationships are key. Any leader you hear is going to say relationships are key. We were just with Dr. Strack. He's saying relationships are key.
Yeah.
So I think the relationships built, not just with my students, not just with my volunteers, although of high, high importance, but also with community leaders, with football coaches and student ministry, with school principals that might never cross the line to come to my church, but I need the relationship with them in the community if I want to reach my community. If I
yeah.
want to be a youth pastor, you know, to the community and not just in the community, then I need relationships with those in the community.
Yeah.
And so I would say that was another big win for us.
I love that youth pastor to the community versus just a youth pastor in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think That's a subtle shift in words,
mm-hmm.
but man, the implications of that statement are massive in how
massive.
You approach your calling.
Yeah, we could talk about that for days. Just
yeah.
We could do a series on that alone.
Yeah, we may steal it and do that.
Come on, royalties, Brian Mills 247.
That's right.
Another area that I would say are small groups.
Yeah.
And so not being a Wednesday night big ministry. You know, the goal is not to add hundreds of students without core. And I keep going back to this, but I believe one of the lasting impacts for me was seeing students gather around with adults and be discipled and growing, and then watching those students go win their friends to the Lord in the locker room.
Yeah.
So I held as high evangelism as I hold these adults investing in kids through discipleship.
Yeah.
And so I would say that was another core value. A couple others I think of are we kept evangelism on the front end.
Yeah.
I know we just talked about it, but man, I feel like we've lost. We're losing in evangelism today because we want to, I don't know why, I'll be honest, we're kind of pushing it away. We always kept evangelism a key part of our ministry.
Yeah, and it is something, you know, being able to look across at least one denomination in Southern Baptists,
yeah.
How baptisms have declined over the last 20 years, and it's 20,000,
mm-hmm.
and it's an amazing stat that should cause all of it. And that, again, that's just one denomination. We have a lot of different denominations that listen and tune into the podcast, which I'm super thankful for. But I would wager that stat, maybe not the same numbers, but ratio-wise is probably similar across the board. It's just interesting to me how quickly evangelism slides out of mind if we don't keep a constant focus on it.
That's
and so
right.
that, you know, that first question that we talked about, how do we think evangelistically, how do we keep that in mind with events? But really that could be applied to with our ministries.
Yes.
And your answer, simply put, was we have to keep it in mind, and you
yeah.
you have to think about it. One of the things that that I write in my book that's coming out in just a month. So shameless plug.
I'll buy it.
But
I'll buy three of them.
But we talk about in that book, just make the point that healthy ministries are kingdom expanding ministries.
Yeah,
they are ministries who focus on first and foremost expanding God's kingdom. And like you said, you can't stop there.
You can't.
You have to follow up and put systems and people into place to disciple. But if we're not seeing new students come into our ministries and hear the gospel and given a chance to respond, then your pool to disciple people is going to be really, really shallow.
You know,
and one of the best stories is, like, I've known you for a while, and I know that, man, we want to see people come to events and give their lives to Jesus at an event. But I think you would agree, the best story is when we have a student who we know has a friend. And instead of saying, man, I brought this student, let's share the gospel with him tonight, which is great, the best story and the story that student pastors that you and I get fired up for is when we've had those students that have brought their friend and said, I led Joe to Christ today in the parking lot of my school campus. I brought him to church tonight to help him get plugged in and find out what to do next.
Yeah, I think that's when you know you have disciples.
Yeah.
Because disciples, if I read scripture right, evangelize.
Yeah.
An evangelist, disciple. It's one and the same. And so, you know, when I watch students, and I could give 1,000 illustrations of this, I brag about them often as I preach, of students who have won so many friends to the Lord. And those are the students who, quite honestly, grew the deepest in their faith.
Yeah.
Because they're out there sharing their faith. So as a result, they're being questioned about their faith. People are watching them. People are looking at them saying, hey, are you really who you say you are? And so you've got to grow in your faith. It's that athlete who says, I want to be the best athlete. We don't just do it by studying or watching YouTube videos on playing basketball. You got to go out and do the work.
Yeah.
And it puts that drive within. Well, same thing for the gospel. You share the gospel, it's going to put that drive in you for the word.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a thing about balance,
yes,
too. Like you've said multiple times throughout this, it's not just about having an evangelistic ministry or just a discipling ministry. It's about doing both and accomplishing both well, which is harder.
Oh,
it's more
hard.
Difficult to do.
Yep.
With more frequency lately, we've heard terms like, that's a gathering church, or that's a teaching church. Really, to me, a healthy church is not either or.
I agree.
It has to be both. It has to be a church that both gathers well and then funnels people into environments where they can learn to become a reproducing disciple.
Yep.
So let's move forward. We talked about some things that made lasting impact.
Yeah.
What about some things that didn't work? Like you tried it, it just failed. What are some things that our audience can learn from that you would say, save yourself the trouble, don't ever do this?
Yeah, so when I think of that, I think of never use social media or the stage to recruit volunteers. The creepers come out. And I'm sure everybody listening to a volunteer has that crazy or listen to podcasts has that crazy volunteer like, how do I get rid of this joker? I mean, he's a moron or she's a moron or God forbid there's some pedophile out here is coming to, which we ought to get background checks and that's another conversation. But
sure. But when you make that blanket announcement, it makes it even harder on the front end to screen.
And so I think you got to come up with key ways, which isn't the question, but key ways to recruit volunteers. And and there are some key ways to do that. But, so that's one mistake I made on the front end. And I got the creepers. I'll never forget. I made the announcement from the stage. And, man, the weirdest people came forward to serve. None of the great leaders.
Yeah.
Every stage announcement I made or every tweet I posted about it, I never got a great leader.
Could you tell right away when they walked up, this person is probably a creeper?
Oh, absolutely. Not just a creeper, but I mean, can't have a conversation, with themselves in the mirror, more or less with an individual sitting around a table.
Yeah.
You know, and so what do you do with that guy? It's like, well, you can serve back, backstage, you can carry a stand out. Well, I mean, but it's my own fault.
Yeah.
I messed up in my recruiting.
Yeah. I've found the same thing anytime. Even when our pastor would make announcements from the stage, hey, we need volunteers in X ministry, man, it always ended up being more work on the back end. And the ones that somehow through that ended up in a place of service never seemed to work out. Mm-hmm. You know, Doug Fields talks about a lot having high barriers to entry and to serve in your ministry, and that's a key point to remember there.
And if you want high capacity players, you got to create a high capacity atmosphere.
Yeah, and you almost have to headhunt people to look at your church, look at the community even, and say, man, who do I want to go after?
But I also know a lot of people listening to this podcast are like, hey guys, that's great, but I ain't got one.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I'll take the dumbest guy in my church.
Anybody's better than nobody.
So I get that too, and I understand. And so that's when you got to really lean in and develop those people as well.
Yeah, and I think that's a key point that you just mentioned is the development, because we joke about anybody's better than nobody, but really that's not true. Just filling a seat is a horrible idea, even if you are starting with zero. The question there is not how can I fill this seat, it's who can I develop that will be able to fill this seat in a little while?
Yep.
And having nobody is better than having the wrong person, especially when we think about working with teenagers.
That's right. You know, another one that I think about when some things we failed on along the years is recognizing series or content that we're putting out to our students that failed. And we might be preaching it on a Wednesday night, and you started a new four-week series that you've come up with, or maybe you borrowed another guy's stuff, which I think is totally okay. I think you ought to make it your own, but you grab a guy's stuff, and maybe it's something y'all produced at Lifeway, and I'm using it. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that
you was... like that. You like. And so I'm using that content. Well, what if I'm looking out there, and I'm like, this didn't connect with my students at all?
Yeah.
Then I've been there. And I've had to look at the series and say, I put a lot of time and energy and creativity into this, and it's failing. And so we got to scratch it.
Just so in that moment, like say it's week one of a six-week series, you
don't
just
hang
throw
on
it in the trash can.
Throw it in the trash can. If you hang on to it, you're going to see the results happening. You're not going to be discipling your ministry. Your ministry is going to shrink over that series. And they're just going to be like, that dude doesn't connect with us. And so why not just throw it away? Why be so committed? I mean, I know you might have spent, you know, since y'all stuff so cheap at Lifeway, you know, $5 or $6, you know.
But cheap in a good way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not cheap. inexpensive. My bad.
cheap as in affordable in your ministries.
Yes. Great stuff.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying, though. But I dug myself a hole. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think about is sometimes we move too fast.
Yeah.
And we came into, I came into a ministry, or I got my volunteers, and I was like, let's go, because I tend to be a very fast mover and a visionary. But it's that old leadership saying, you know, three steps ahead, or one step ahead, you're a leader, three steps ahead, you're a martyr.
Yeah.
And so we have a tendency for you who are strong leaders listening to get three steps ahead. And, so, you know, I've been there. And I've got to pull way back, and I got to land the plane. You know, you can't fly at 30,000 feet if you haven't left the airport.
Yeah.
And so you got to gradually climb up.
Well, even at the time of this recording, Brian and I are at an event together and speaking and leading in student ministry in Florida. And he's mentioned Dr. Jay Strack, who's been at this event as well. And even today, one of the things he was saying was, as a leader, if you look back and nobody's following you, you're too far ahead, then you're just out for a walk. And that's such an important thing for us to remember as leaders, is to bring people along, to not go so fast. And because all of us have, man, you listening who are leading in student ministries right now, regardless of your context, I'm willing to bet that you men and women, you want to grow the ministry. You want to see things happen. You want to see students come to know the Lord. You want to see them lead their friends to Christ. And you want to get there as quickly as possible. Well, sometimes it happens fast, and other times it doesn't. I was having a conversation with a youth pastor today, and he's been at his church for 3 years. And he said, you know, I used to always wonder why people left after just 2 years. He said, then I got to the two-year mark, and I realized why. And he was just talking about how he was able to persevere through some of the not-so-growing seasons. I mean, ministries have cycles to them and seasons.
And that's okay. You got to rest in those
seasons. Totally, yeah. And so he was just talking about how, you know, they've been through some of the fast growing times, and they've been through some that aren't growing so fast, or, you know, maybe dipping a little bit and back up now. And man, part of being a really great leader in student ministry is recognizing those times when they come and not freaking out, not panicking, and being able to ride the wave.
Yep.
How, talk about that a lot. Like, is that something, because I know at Long Hollow, you guys had explosive growth for a long time.
Yeah.
So talk about maybe how you dealt with, either at Long Hollow or other churches, some of those dip times to where, you know, again, learning how to ride that seasonal wave in student ministry.
Well, I got to be honest, I'm like any leader listening. The dip times are depressing times for me.
Right? For
so
sure.
If I'm just being honest, I know it's sinful. I know it's not righteous. I know people can, well, see, he's all about having a big ministry. I get that. But I got to be honest, when I dip, I always thought, what am I doing? I thought something was wrong with me. Have I sinned, Lord?
Yeah. And right.
But, you know.
And I think that's a common question.
And so what I did was I had to learn that God puts me in those seasons to grow me.
Yeah.
And I think every ministry, I think every individual, I think every leader, I think we as followers of Christ need the valleys to go to higher peaks.
Yeah.
And we'll never get to the highest peaks. On the highest peaks, we get to see God moving. But in the valleys, we get to see God move through us.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and on that peak, we get to watch it. And it's fun to watch it in ministry, but some of you are in a valley, and I encourage you, the valley's okay. Don't get depressed. Don't get beat up. Be encouraged and be loved that God can do some big things in this valley moment, but don't get lost in the valley.
Yeah.
Follow the shepherd out of the valley and then end back up on the peak, but then you're probably going to go down into another valley. But if you do, you might lead to a greater peak. It's up to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I've just learned along the ways of my year, stay faithful through the journey, whether it's the deepest, darkest time of it, whether it's the greatest time of it, whether it's, you know, the toughest time of it, the most depressing or frustrating time of it. As long as I stay faithful, God will be faithful.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that if I can say that God's taught me anything, it's just stay faithful. No matter how some of you are in situations where you're like, man, I feel like half my church people are lost. And I get it.
Yeah.
But stay faithful.
Yeah.
Stay faithful, you know. So.
And that's so good. And it, you know, sometimes in those moments, God does move people to a new place.
Absolutely.
And other times, people try to move to a new place. And I just, you know, there's no answer to it, but I just wonder, like, if we were better at riding the waves, what could God do in that ministry 2 years after somebody leaves and try either quits the ministry altogether or leaves and tries to go somewhere else and start over? Like, what could have happened?
You know, don't leave too quick.
Yeah.
Be sure it's God's call, not man's call.
That's right.
You know, don't leave a frustration, leave because of calling.
Yeah.
And the same, don't accept a job, you know, just because it's a bigger job. You can elevate yourself too fast and you'll crash just as fast as you got there.
Yeah. That's good. So let's, one last question. I always, anytime we have people as guests on the podcast, I always want to ask, who are you learning from? What are some of the things that that you're learning right now in life and what you're doing in student ministry, ministry in general? Who are you learning from and what are some things that they're teaching you?
Yeah, so the Lord really blessed me with some great friends. You know, we mentioned Dr. Jay Strack. I'm around Dr. Jay quite a bit right now currently in my life. And every time I'm around him, I believe as leaders, anytime you're around a leader, you lean in.
Yeah.
And you listen. I was just in a session here a few weeks ago, and I'm sitting with some of my closest friends, but who I consider some great leaders. Ben, you led a session this week that I got to sit under and learn under some of your leadership and self-development stuff. Very challenged by that. You know, so I'm writing it down. I'm putting it in my Evernotes. Brent Crow. Brent Crow is one of my closest friends. But man, the guy is rich in leadership. He's rich in righteousness in a way that he just encourages you to go live for the Lord. And I lean into that. Alex Amaya is a dear friend of mine. I call Alex often and lean into Alex. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, love that he's leading our convention right now.
Yeah.
I know he comes in this summer of 2016. He wraps up his term.
But I've really enjoyed Dr. Ronnie Floyd and his leadership stuff. And then I listen to a ton of podcasts. I listen to or I read a lot of books.
Yeah,
a whole lot of books. And then at every city I go to or within the city I'm living in, I try to find the highest capacity players within that city and connect with them. Maybe it's a once-a-month lunch. If they're a really high-capacity player, then they're probably not going to have that kind of time. Maybe twice a year you can have lunch. But if you connect with them, I find some of those people, and some of them, by the way, and don't crucify me on this, are not Christians. They're
yeah.
just leaders.
Sure, people you can learn from. So does that look like, okay, you're going to be in Tampa, quick Google search of like what does that look like when you look
yeah,
to connect?
Yeah, so I'm going to ask the people around who if I'm going to Tampa,
yeah.
I'm going to call somebody in and around. I'm going to call my friend Kelly Canals. Hey, I've got X amount of time in this window of time.
Yeah, who do I need to meet
with?
Do
you know who can I call?
Yeah.
And just see if they have time for me. And I got to admit, most of the time I fell at going to a city and connected. I emailed a guy the other day. I was going to Houston, Texas, and I thought, I'm just going to try and have lunch with this guy. And I emailed him. He never responded.
The good thing about that is, like, you're already not meeting with them. So what do you have to lose?
I have nothing to lose.
That's
so,
right.
You know, if you're super intimidated and being like, well, what am I going to say? Write down the questions Ben just asked me. Just ask them in a leadership standpoint, not in a ministry standpoint. Or if
yeah.
it's a minister, write down 5 questions and ask those questions. And you know what? If they don't reply, if they don't, who cares?
Yeah,
you
that's
can't score
good.
Unless you shoot, right?
That's right. So and some easy questions in that environment. Is this question, you know, what are you learning right now? How do you learn? How do you grow as a leader? How do you develop yourself? What are some of the biggest challenges you faced in your career? How'd you overcome them? I mean, those are some easy questions that
yeah.
you'll find somebody who's a man or woman who's in a place of leadership that has some pretty good chops in leadership. And a lot of times they'll be willing to sit down and
they love it. You know, a question I love to start with is, how do you do it as a dad?
Yeah.
How do you lead at such a large level? Because that gets real personal real quick. And most of the time, they're struggling.
Yeah.
And so they might look back at me and say, how do you do it as a dad?
Yeah.
And I might give a one or two thoughts like, how can I coach you? But here's two things. Oh, well, you know, when it creates this conversation, and then I transition it into business or ministry or pastoring or whatever environment it might be in.
Yeah, and I know, like, I wouldn't put myself or us on the type of level of people that you're mentioning connecting with, but I know, like, for you and for me personally, when people have emailed and said, hey, I'm coming through Nashville, yeah. would love to get together and do, like, that's, I love that.
Yeah,
like,
I
that's
love it.
Energizing, and I know that you've done that a lot.
Yeah.
Throughout the years as you lead in student ministry as well. And just to be able to spend time and talk shop with people that are yep. in a similar thing as you and learning along with you, it's a good... I often find that I am sharpened probably more than the person that asked me to get together. And so those
you know,
are...
I learned this principle from Mark Batterson.
Yeah.
I do not know Mark, okay? He and I have been in a green room together. We've connected. But if you say Brian Mills around, he'll be like, I don't know him.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not trying to drop a name here. He literally does not know me. But when back in the day, I mean, like early 2000s or maybe even 99, when blogging was ginormous back then, it still is, but he was a huge blogger. Well, he wrote some things, and I was serving at a church, and he wrote some things on his blog, and I thought, I'd like to see that. Well, I didn't know any better. You know, I'm a 20-year-old, so I email Mark and said, hey, Pastor Batterson, would you mind sending that to me, what you mentioned on your blog? Expect to not even get a response.
Yeah.
He responded within 5 minutes.
Wow.
And what I said right then was, I always want to be one that will respond no matter who emails me.
Yeah.
And because we're all people.
Yeah.
And we leverage your influence. If you got time, use it for something.
Yeah.
Don't just sit around and play Candy Crush, you know, or watch TV. I mean,
that's
do
totally
something
true.
With your time and make the most of it.
Yep. Find a book to read or somebody to connect with or podcast to listen to.
Yep.
Speaking of, Thank you for listening to the Lifeway Student Ministry podcast. This has been a great conversation with Brian. So, Brian, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hanging out. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. I want to encourage you to head over to iTunes, leave us a positive rating and review. The more of those we get, the easier it is for other student ministry leaders like yourself to find the podcast and be able to listen to it and experience the same great content that will help them lead in student ministry regardless of their context, hopefully like we are doing for you. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you next time.